Well, good morning. Let me also repeat what Rick said. It's so good to have you here. You've noticed probably by now there's a whole lot of chairs up here, and I'm only one person, so I'm not going to be alone up here. So elders, come on up. The elders are joining me today. We're going to be sharing some things, so come on up, guys. So this morning, this would normally be the sermon time, and we're doing something a little different this morning. I've invited the elders to join me. It's almost exactly 6 months ago. I think it'll be 6 months ago this coming Sunday that we added three more elders to our elder team. And we've been talking for some time now, wanting to take a morning and just give kind of an update on some of the things that we're seeing God doing, some of the things we're sensing, and just to share some of them with you. So that's what we're doing this morning. I wanted to say before we get too far into that, if you are here for the first time, I trust this will be encouraging to you. It'll actually be a little bit of an inside look maybe into the leadership here at Living Hope. And if you are just here, this is the only morning you're traveling from Maine to Florida and you're here this morning, I'm trusting that God is going to encourage you with something that we share. Even though it might feel like, well, they're talking more specifically about the church or things that are going on in this particular church, I trust that that will be encouraging to you also. So, primarily, what we want to do this morning, I would say, is three things, just to share some things we've done and some steps we've taken as elders here at Living Hope in terms of leadership and strengthening leadership. We also want to share some of the core values that God keeps impressing on us, and also just some things that he's doing. Just give thanks for some things that we see him doing. So I want to say, though, before we get into all that, is just I'm excited to have these men with me. I know that on Sunday morning, a lot of times they're out there and I'm up here, but I'm glad to see this. So you can see this picture this morning. We're together a lot. We meet for prayer every week. Right now, we've been meeting about twice a month, and I wanted to read something from the overall vision statement when we created this elder team. It says, the role of elders, quite simply, elders lead the church. They are responsible for the vision of the church, the health of the church, the doctrine of the church, and discipline within the church. They oversee the affairs of the church and each of its leaders. They serve as shepherds for the congregation. So I know that there are a number of you here that were not there probably at that time when we first presented the elders and we installed the elders back in September. So this is a good refresher this morning, just to remind you that the decisions that affect Living Hope are made by this group here. I serve as pastor, but we work together as a team. And I know many of you know them, but you may not know all of them. So I'll just go down the line here quickly. Sitting immediately to my left is Richard Reed. He is up front sometimes, but Richard and his wife Carla. Next to Richard is Jay Pfeiffer. Jay and his wife Sharon have been a part of Living Hope for many years. Next to Jay is Kevin Wanger. He and his wife Glenda have been here for many years. And then on my far left, Christopher Peters. He and his wife Mary Grace have been here for a number of years. So we're going to be sharing as we go through about different aspects of different things. What we wanted to start with this morning was just some things we've done structurally or organizationally, if you will, to use this group of leaders to strengthen and encourage other leaders at Living Hope. So I've asked Jay to just start out with a little overview of some things we've done there. Some of you heard this already in various settings, but just to share it with all of you. Jay.
I'd like to begin by saying that having the additional elders on the team has been a tremendous encouragement and support to Pastor Ron and myself. The part of that, we want to, Pastor Ron already mentioned that we meet weekly. We do meet weekly as elders, so it has been a tremendous encouragement, and God has been faithful. The Holy Spirit shows up, and We want to pass what God is showing to us on to the congregation. Our goal is to prepare the bride, and you are the bride. We want to prepare you to meet the bridegroom. That's Jesus. So a part of that support then, having the additional elders, that support is going to filter down then, or we've come to the decision where Rick and Christopher are going to be giving leadership to the worship area of our the ministry here at Living Hope. And then also Kevin is going to be giving leadership and support and encouragement to the children's ministry. And the for Kevin and I, Pastor Ron is giving support to the youth. Kevin and I will be in administration. And also Rick and Carla are going to be continuing to give support and encouragement to the life groups. And I also want to say on that, then I just really appreciate each one of the wives here just about 3 weeks ago. We met as couples, and Christopher's wife, Mary Grace, Kevin's wife, Glenda, my wife, Sharon, Rick's wife, Carla, and Ron's wife, Molly. They're valuable, very valuable, huge support as we work together as couples also. So we're meeting on a regular basis throughout the year as couples, but also it's weekly as elders, really praying and asking God, we desire your leadership, and we want to pass that leadership on to you in preparing the bride. You, the bride.
Maybe one clarifying question, Jay. You said that Rick and Christopher are stepping into like a leadership role in worship. Just clarify the word leadership there. Are they taking the full, they're like the worship leaders now, or?
No, they're not the worship leaders. They're strictly.
Why are you shaking your head, Christopher?
Christopher does a great job, but Kat and Jeremy and Jason, they are also continuing, and we're dividing that responsibility out with several on the worship area, worship ministry. So Rick and Christopher are giving support and encouragement in that overall worship area. So know that you're seeing more of a team approach where there's several people leading out on Sunday morning in worship, and so responsibility does not all rest on one particular person, although it comes back to Rick and Christopher for that support and leadership, so forth with the worship. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I just want to clarify that. What we envision the role as elders is for instance, Kevin in the area of children's ministry. He then becomes a support and encouragement to Carol in her role. And if she has something she has a question about or she wants to reach out to leadership, Kevin is there available for her. Generally speaking, in the past, if people had a question about something, they came to me, which was fine. But it is so much nicer to have this responsibility now shared with other godly men who are giving their time and their prayer, support, and their encouragement to leaders. So that's just to clarify that. Let's go right into the thing of worship yet. We'll touch on this, and then we're going to move more into some of the core values. But just to bring an update on our worship ministry, Jay already mentioned that, some things we've been doing, some things we're still working on. Rick, maybe you can help me with this, of just going back. And I know those of you who have been here a little over a year, you'll remember that back in January of 13, we released a team of people to plant a church. They planted a church in Mountville, Lifestream Community Church. But at that time, we had to really do some reformatting in our worship ministry and looking for leaders. And we had a transition time at that point that was looking for, we started looking for a worship leader, because the church planter that we released, Josh, was our worship leader. So now we were looking, we had a vacancy there. So we started down this road of looking for the next worship leader. And there was one night in particular that we were gathered as a transition team, and we were just saying, God, what are you saying? We just spent time in prayer, time in his word. God, what are you saying? Rick, share what you felt the Lord said, and it really kind of changed our course at that point.
Beginning stages of the transition team, we're kind of doing things the way they'd always been done. Somebody that might be interested in leading worship, sending out resumes and applications, receiving interviews, that type of thing. And it just wasn't going anywhere. Like every candidate, it looked like it was promising, would come up against some stone wall and it would stop dead. So we were in prayer, I guess, that one night, and I felt like the Lord spoke and said, you're trying to do a new thing the old way. And kind of freaked some people out. But
wow,
in the end,
piece of cake.
In the end, both Ron and Jay said, I don't understand that, but it resonated with the Spirit. From that point on, our whole approach changed. This is the Lord's church. We want what you want. We don't know what that looks like, and it's really uncomfortable. We want to follow you. That really began the change in the process, changed our minds from finding a worship leader to saying, okay, who do we have here already that can step in? Who wants to be part of that? Grow with it. Same with the youth ministry. A number of sudden, I think within 2 weeks, we met Mike and Claudia. Okay, the Lord, this is what you're doing. So follow you.
Yeah, that's good. As I would say two things specifically. You mentioned one of them. Two things specifically that came out of that word was that, okay, we're not supposed to go outside the congregation to hire a worship leader. Through several people, a few prophetic words at the time, it was like, use the root system that's in place. There's a strong root system in place. Use that system and see what God wants to do with that. So that was the one thing. The second thing was we felt that God was calling us to really work on this concept of a leadership team rather than one central leader, where there would be multiple people moving in and out of, not moving in and out of roles, but carrying various roles on different Sundays. Then I'm going to ask Christopher to speak in more detail to this. I would share this, though, that, and I've said this to the team several times, that to me, and maybe this is just me personally, but if a husband, I'm picturing a husband and wife or a family, whatever, people getting in their car, driving home from church, and one of them looking at someone else in the car and asking, who was the worship leader this morning? And the other one would say, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. That, to me, is kind of what we're shooting for, where we say the Holy Spirit was leading worship. A number of different people were kind of stepping in and out of more prominent roles at various times, even in the set. So Christopher, who is both on the worship team, he's been serving on the worship team for about the past year now, but also now as an elder stepping into the support role. I just ask him to unpack a little bit more. I just touched briefly, but just say a little bit more about some of the things we're working on and trying to develop.
On your insert there, there's a couple core values, and that maybe I'll just touch on those a little bit. There's a lot more to say about that, but Pastor Ron hit team leadership already. And then intimacy over excellence and discipleship. Intimacy over excellence is described as we want to be more focused on meeting with God in the morning than we are about technical proficiency. We want to play well. We want to make sure that the way we play and the way we sing isn't a stumbling block to worship here, but we don't want to put technical proficiency above meeting with God. And then discipleship, part of the whole team approach, I would say, is to, and we're going to talk about this more later with general core values, but we want to see people raised up to fill the roles that God has made them to fill. And so as we've been going through the process on many fronts in the past year, people have stepped up to fill their role. And so we want to enable people to join the worship team if they feel like God is calling them. We want to enable people to lead a song vocally or instrumentally to grow in that. And we want people to be able to lead a set or, well, I'll say direct or conduct or the set for the day, whatever the term you might want to use. We want people to be able to be able to do that. And so it's a different approach than here's your one leader, this person's in charge, and you do what that person says, and you kind of follow that lead. So it's going to be, we have one leader, it's the Holy Spirit, but the team is leading together on a Sunday morning. And I think so the discipleship aspect, I think, is really key. And where Jason and Kat and Jeremy come in here is they are still, and I think there's some words there, they're still the foundation and of the worship team. And what they've helped do and the time they've spent in the past year is enormous, and you probably don't realize that. So I want to thank them for that. They've spent a lot of time. The first couple months, practices were very rough, and we just endeavored to show up here to play something that you guys could sing along with. So I think it's come a long way since then. But and so we're growing here as we want you to join us in joining us in intimacy with the Father over excellence. And the one thing that we're doing is they're going to still continue to serve on the ministry team for the worship team, and to guide and disciple new people that have been on for a while. They're stepping up, so we want to see people to continue to grow into what God has for them on the worship team, and so we're kind of excited about that. We've caught glimpses of that. One great part about the team approach is that if somebody's sick or there's another problem and they're not here, people can fill in. You probably don't know, but that may have happened once or twice this morning for the team, that there was some fill-in, and that's just the way a team approach works, where there's somebody else there. If you have one worship leader and they have to be out, then they're going to be a problem. But with a team approach, people are able to serve and fill in different roles. So I think that covers those. I mean, as far as individual, there are some other values which aren't on that insert. I just want to mention a commitment to Jesus, that our worship would be an overflow of our relationship with Jesus. Humble servants was another one. I think that flows out of the team approach, that nobody wants to be the focal or the spotlight. And then passionate worshipers. So we hope that for people up here and for you as well. Worship is a team effort, and the congregation is part of the team. And so we want you to come in the morning and be prepared to worship with us, worship together as part of the team. We've talked over the past couple of months that worship is a battlefield, and it is. And I just want to say some churches, worship divides churches, and I don't want to see that here. Churches have a contemporary service and a traditional service. We have one service. You're going to sing a song from the 1800s followed by a song you just heard on JTL coming in the morning. So it's just the mix of the body, and I want to worship together and not be divisive. And so anyway, that's kind of our heart. And if you want to email me about something, I'm open to hear, you know, whatever you have to say. If you want to interested in joining the worship team, great. Email one of us about that. What I don't want in an email is, why don't you play my favorite Keith Green song or something? that's not really what I'm looking for. But if, you know, I'm open. As the elder team, I was going to use three words. A shield. So if you have something to say about the worship team, please feel free to email me. For the support and the shepherd for the team. So.
Very good. Thank you. And you guys can jump in here at any point if you want to add anything. I was just going to say, kind of at the big picture of worship, you know, it's very common for a congregation to have a worship leader. You could probably mention some to me right now. You could probably think of some of the maybe larger churches in Lancaster County, and you even know, oh, well, so-and-so's a worship leader there, so-and-so's a worship leader there. We're not knocking that. That's a very normal arrangement. Simply for us, we felt the Lord was calling us not to do that. We felt like the team approach and seeing this leadership role, if you will, carried by numerous people, we felt it was more in keeping with what God is doing overall at Living Hope. Would you agree? Am I saying that correctly? Will there come a time when Living Hope will have a single kind of a lead worship person again? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we're up here in 12 months and
yeah,
it's not like, and we say something like that, yeah, it's not like today was wrong. Today is what God has for Living yeah Hope right now in worship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we are following him. And if God leads elsewhere and to do something else in a year, then we will go there as well.
Yeah.
I think that's team of elders. We are committed to what God wants us to do. And honestly, we don't know what that looks like from week to week. But we are seeking him. We meet together so frequently because we want his heart. We want to know what he's doing, what his plan is for Living Hope. That's where we want to be.
And for those of you who have served in a worship capacity or on a worship team, you probably already know what I'm about to say. A team concept is harder than one strong leader. It's just harder. You know, you're wanting multiple opinions, and you're wanting the different leadership style that different people bring. And so it's not easier. We're not doing this because it's easier, trust me, because it's not. And I trust those of you who've been here for a year, you've seen the journey now. You've seen it unfolding, and hopefully you're starting to see some of the fruit, and you're starting to see some of the things that God is doing. But anyway, so that's just an update on that one particular ministry, because our approach has been a little different. And so we wanted to bring an update. Anything else anybody wanted to add on worship? All right. What we want to do then is to move on to, this is in your handout, just core values that we think God is reinforcing over and over again at Living Hope. Core values that he's reinforcing. And As we go through them, we'll just share some things that we're seeing, some things that God is doing along the way. But the first one is simply, and we've already alluded to this morning, already in a song and some of Rick's comments, we want to be a family where, and the first one is God's love is being discovered. And I know that sounds so basic, and that sounds like, yeah, every church in the world would say that. But the scripture verse that is referenced there, Luke 15:20, you may recognize Luke 15 as a story. There are several stories that Jesus tells about lost things. But the bulk of Luke 15 is the story of the wayward son, the prodigal son. Some people call that story. In verse 20, speaking of the son, it says, "So he got up and went to his father." The son had wandered off, caught up in a very wasteful lifestyle, all kinds of problems. But you cut into the story at this point. It says, so he got up and went to his father. And then Jesus tells in this story this beautiful description. He says, "But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him." Now, that might not sound that impressive, but if you go back and read the story in Luke 15 of all this son had done, I mean, just think of every conceivable way a child could disappoint a parent. This son had done that. And the father saw him coming, and he ran, and he embraced him, and he kissed him. And Jesus told this story to paint a picture of the father's love. And it's the most important discovery any one of us can make, the love that the father has for us. So we're excited that God is showing this to people at Living Hope. We're excited that, and I've asked Rick to talk a little bit about this. You said it earlier, you know, you get up in the morning and you see people you haven't seen before. And just talk a little bit more about that. People discovering God's love and the kind of environment we're trying to create to foster that.
I think the best place for me to start is when I came here 5 years ago. I was wounded. I did not know whether I had a place in a church anymore. I've told Ron this several times. I never, ever expected to end up in a church like Living Hope. I am so glad I'm here. I love this church. I love you people. I'm excited about what God's doing, and it's happening because you are the people that you are. When I walked through the doors of this church 5 years ago, I felt so warmly welcomed, received, just for who I was. There's no expectation, no condition, no nothing. Even Dottie loved me. I give her a bad time all the time because I love her. She's one. She and Donna Smith were the two that really touched us first. I can't leave you alone, Dottie. It's just the way it is. But it's what I've seen is that wasn't a one-time incident. That's the DNA of people in the church. And it's our responsibility to keep building that, to keep sharing that, to keep welcoming people. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what your background is. We're all in this together. This is a family. I spent 20-odd years in a church I thought was my family, and I lost it. I never thought I'd recover it because of the heart to tear, because people in this church have allowed Jesus to transform them, not just change them, but to challenge them to reach out to other people. It makes a huge, huge difference. There are lots of people in this church today that wouldn't have been in any other church because they sense the Spirit here. It's all of our responsibility. See somebody in this church that you don't know, just go up and introduce yourself. Tell them that you're glad that they're here. Safe place. Okay? You're allowed to be who you are here. As I said, it's a very welcoming place. So I don't really have a whole lot to say about that. It's more a matter of doing, talking about it. But credit gets done all the time. Thank you.
Yeah, we've heard testimonies of several people recently who say, you know, I've not been coming to church for quite a while, and I came here, and I felt received. I felt welcomed. And there are a lot of churches that are doing that. But we just want you to know that we've seen that in you. That's something you're doing. And we just thank God for you, and we continue to encourage you in that valuable ministry. We want that to be a core value here always, that people discover the love of God. And oftentimes the way they discover that is they see it in us first. And then that begins to open their eyes to God's love.
One other thing I wanted to say is this is a very diverse group. It's changed dramatically in the few years that I've been here. Racially, economically, socially, age-wise, this body covers all of that. And it's one of the things that makes this such a desirable place to be. I have a friend that I've known for 30 years that has just been in and out and up and down with church. Came here to hear from me his testimony. Originally scheduled. He stood and his mouth open. He could not believe the diversity of his body. Again, that's a testimony to that welcome spirit. No difference, and we need to be working toward, and I guess we're going to talk about the missional aspect of things, but go out of here, carry that same heart. What draws me?
So that's the first core value, that people are discovering the Father's love for them. That is huge. The second one we put is Jesus is transforming lives, and this is a verse while Rick assembles his cell phone here. This is, you got to just acknowledge it because I know you're watching that. I know you are. The scripture reference of Acts 4:13 is not a really like a real prominent verse. It's probably not one you hear quoted a lot, but it simply says this. It's talking about Peter and John. It says when the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. This is what happens when people have been with Jesus. Their lives start to change. They start becoming something they weren't before. And these Jewish leaders saw this. They drug Peter and John in front of them, and they threatened them, and they said, "You will not preach in this name anymore." And Peter and John are like, "Yeah, we will. We will preach in this name. You can't tell us to stop preaching in this name." And they realized these were not educated. These were not schooled or trained men. They were men, however, that had been with Jesus. So that is one of the core values that, you know, when someone discovers the love of a father, places their faith in Jesus Christ, that's just the first step. The next step, then, we often refer to as discipleship, where you really let Jesus begin to transform your life. So, Kevin, you haven't spoken yet, so let's pull you in here at this moment. Now, I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but I don't think it'll throw you for a loop. I've asked Kevin to mention our life group ministry. The main reason I wanted Kevin to speak to that is you shared on the morning of the elder commissioning. I had asked each of you to share some of the things that God was putting on your heart. Remind us of that this morning, because I remember what that was. One of the things that the Lord had really put on your heart regarding the body at Living Hope, and then go into life groups a little bit. You know what I'm referring to, right? Yeah, okay. I didn't think I'd throw you too bad with that question.
You know, something that is really on the heart for Glenda and I, my wife Glenda, we've been involved with small groups here, life groups, cell groups, whatever you want to call them. Churches call them different things, but basic point is being connected. That's something that's really been on my heart, Glenda's heart, ever since we came here to Living Hope. And the morning of we elders being commissioned, I said that that was something I really, really wanted God to continue to stir and bring about in a greater degree, seeing people connected. And recently, over the past couple weeks, Pastor Ron and some others, from the help of life group leaders, basically, we tried to compile a list in the best way that we could of all the people who were involved in life groups or small groups, mixed groups, whatever form that may be. We wanted to see how many people are actually connected. Quite honestly, I was really surprised, and I was really, really blessed to find out that 70% of the households, or family units, I think is the way we labeled it, of family units here at Living Hope are already committed and a part of some type of small group setting. To me, that was an incredible blessing, because that was one of the visions I had, you know, going into this role as being an elder, to see that strength and to see that type of community setting strength shared. So those of you who are already in a group, you've made a good choice. If you're here this morning, if you have not been part of a life group, you've not been part of something like that, I challenge you this morning to pray about it and allow God to share his heart, his vision, because God's given us that vision. God's given us that heart for people being connected. And pray about it and see what God's going to share to you. And if you want to get involved, talk to Rick and Carla or any one of us here in the elder team and say, "I want to get involved," or "Maybe I want to start a group in my neighborhood." So I said 70% of people are connected, and that is great. And just a verse that God continues to show. This is Hebrews 10, and it says, beginning in verse 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for the one who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward loving good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So the writer of Hebrews is saying, you know what? The day is approaching. You need to be together. You need to be encouraging one another. It's not time to be a lone ranger. It's not time to say, "Well, I can pray at home on my own, or I can just spend time on my own in prayer." Those things are important. But God designed and destined the body to be connected. He is the vine. We are the branches. We're connected. And the vision that God has put in the hearts of many people at Living Hope, and we as leadership are going to do everything we can to strengthen that and to resource it, to encourage and to help God fulfill his plan and purpose. You know, it's even through life groups that that giftings are discovered. It's a perfect place for people to discover their giftings, their talents. God has a destiny and a purpose, you know, whether it's just leading some part of the aspect of the small group. It's a way for you to discover the way God created you and what God has gifted you in. So I just want to encourage you that God is calling more and more people. And my challenge again is this morning, if you are not connected, you're missing out on what God has for you.
Yeah, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. Being saved, getting saved, is just the beginning.
My mic was off.
My heart is to help people discover who they are. Part of discovering who you are, how God made you, what He made you for, has to do with clearing away some of the junk acquired in our lives. The brokenness, stuff that we've done, stuff that's been done to us or around us that's kept us captive. So we have, I do some prayer ministry here with some of the men. I think the last time we did Love to Life, we had 9 people from this church take it. And I know there are at least 1 or 2 from that group that are probably going to pursue it a little further so that we can expand that whole thing. Because it's not about finding somebody and digging up your problem. It's about getting you free so that you can be who you are. God made you. You're not here by accident. You're here for a reason. God's put a package in you He intends to use. But if we stay hidden in all of our stuff, we're never going to be able to look at what He's created us. That's one of the things that we consider a very valuable focus in terms of living, in terms of where Living Hope's going, how He wants to use us, because it's about all of us. It's not just about the team of elders or a single person. It's about the whole body coming to terms with who you are, taking that out into the world, because they don't know either.
Okay. Thank you. Now that my mic is turned on, you're hearing his answer. You probably gathered the question that I asked, but that is part of being transformed by Jesus, of seeing those things. And we've seen this. I love hearing this testimony of people saying that they come here or to any church for that matter. They come wounded, but God heals them through the love and the care and the ministry of other people. They find freedom. They find healing. And that's all very important part of this transformation. One of the misconceptions I think that some wrestle with is they think that they have to get cleaned up before God will accept them. They have to get their life in order. They have to get all of their affairs straightened out, because if they don't, God will not accept them. Well, the story of the prodigal son in the verse that I mentioned is vivid proof that the father did not make that son come back and repay his debts and fix all of the problems he caused. His embrace was waiting for him immediately. But this thing of transformation, this is where that cleaning process happens. It's walking in the love of the Father and in letting Him begin to speak into these areas of your life. That's where that process happens. Well, let's touch on the last one yet. The last core value is the Holy Spirit. We want to be a family where the Holy Spirit is leading us into the community. By the power and leading of the Holy Spirit, we are to be salt and light, taking the presence of Jesus with us into our homes and communities. The scripture reference there, 2 Corinthians 2:14, is from last Sunday's message. But thanks be to God who always puts us on display. Did you realize that God is always putting you on display in Christ, and through us spreads the aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place? So this concept of incarnational ministry, being salt and light, taking the presence of Jesus with us, is really one of the core messages or life messages, if you will, for Christopher and Mary Grace. So I asked Christopher just to expand on this one a little bit.
I was going to say maybe you've caught this in the past number of months with Pastor Ron's sermons, but both with last week, with when we're talking about the Holy Spirit and taking it from here, and then going back to when Pastor Ron was talking about the incarnational church and he had stick figures with the light in them. And so stepping back to that as a reminder, if we are the light of Christ and we're stick figures and we all have the light, but we're all standing together, then it's not doing the world any good. We need to shine our light in the darkness. And so we have to be in the world. We have to be out in our communities, in our neighborhoods, and we have to share Jesus by our words and our actions. And otherwise, we're not fulfilling the mission that Jesus has for the church. The church is more than the 2 hours we're sitting here, and church is more than life groups. And we want to do that to prepare the bride. But beyond that, we want to go beyond that to share with others to build the church and to build the kingdom as Jesus called us to do. So definitely, you know, missional and incarnational, that the words that Pastor Ron used for that sermon series come to mind. I think of a funny analogy where when Jesus sent out the 12 or the 72, he didn't send them with pamphlets that said, come to a big tent revival meeting on the Mount of Olives to hear a great speaker, Jesus, will have kosher hot dogs and drinks. Jesus sent the disciples out to preach. So that he didn't ask them to not do what he was doing. And so in the same way, we're charged to go out and preach. Yes, we want people to come here to be healed, to join a life group, but in the end, it's every one of our jobs when we leave here to take the light of Jesus and the love of Jesus to people that we come across every day. And that is for kingdom building, and that's really, in the end, what Jesus asked us to do. I mean, he said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That he just didn't say that. That's true. And so he's asking us to be workers, to go out. So I think we're beginning to catch the glimpses of that. I think we've been learning about that through Pastor Ron's series, and we hope to see more and more of that as we continue to grow together. And as people continue to be healed here, to be set free, and to be in a community of believers that encourage them to be who God has made them to be, they can step out in their gifting and the way God has made them to share Christ with the people around them.
One thing I just was thinking about this week, and as I was reading in the book of John in my just personal time with God, and I was reading in John where Jesus said, where my servant, or where I am, my servant also will be. In other words, I'm already going to these places. I'm already doing these things. And if you're my servant, you're going to catch up. You're going to catch the glimpse of where I am. There you will be also. And as we, as elders, have really talked a lot about vision and where this body, where God is calling Living Hope to go, and what God is calling this church to be, it really became apparent to us that what God is already doing is where God is and where he wants to work. And we are to get in step, and we are to get behind him and the Holy Spirit and what God is doing. So God's already doing it. Just like Jesus said, where I am, my servant also will be. So we want to be that servant, being where Jesus, the Holy Spirit, are already. And I think that's just a theme that we just continue to hear and sense among us.
And I think we all agree, as we talk about these three core, that this one, the third one of following the Holy Spirit into the community, is the one that we need the most work on. And I think this value, the ones of discovering God's love and being transformed by Christ, I think that's very common in most churches. You'll hear that spoken of. But I think to really look seriously at what does it mean, just like Christopher said, using that analogy, you know, Jesus did not send the disciples out with invitations to a big tent meeting. He sent them out to preach. He sent them out to influence where they went and to be his presence in those places. And so that is what we're called to as followers of Christ. And we want to continue to take that seriously and to ask the Lord to continue to teach us what that looks like. Anything else on any of those three? I just have a couple closing comments here. There's a verse in Acts 3. This was one of Peter's first sermons in the new church. In the early church, following the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the verse is clearly in a salvation context where Peter says to the crowd, he says, therefore repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And I love that picture that he paints, that when someone turns to the Lord, there is a season of refreshing that comes to your life. So we want you to know that this morning. If you are that child right now that has walked away from the Father, we want you to know that he is waiting with open arms to embrace you He wants to bring that season of refreshing in your life. He wants to bring you into a place of healing, freedom from bondage, discovering who he's made you to be, discovering your destiny in Christ. He wants all of that for you. I also say that verse just to say that we are thankful to God for what we believe is a season of refreshing that he has brought to this body over the past 6 months, 3 months, 4 months, six, whatever you want to say. We've seen it. I don't know if you've seen that or not. I don't know if you've sensed that or not, but we've sensed God bringing a season of refreshing. 3 Sundays from now, we're going to baptize 5 or 6, whatever the number of people is. 2 Sundays from now, we're going to have our first women's retreat that we've ever had. Next Sunday, we're going to have a wonderful celebration of this miraculous healing that God did. And God has brought a season of refreshing to the body. And that's what he has done. That's not what we've done. We take no credit for that. Our whole concept, if you will, of leadership is primarily what is God doing, where is he working, and how do we join in with that? Many of you will recognize that from the Blackaby book, Experiencing God, years ago. We don't want the vision for Living Hope Community Church to be determined by the men on this stage. We want the vision for Living Hope Community Church to be determined by the Holy Spirit, laid out by him. And we're like, okay, where are you going? We want to follow you into the community. We want to follow you into whatever ministry you call us into. So I give that as an encouragement to each of you personally. God wants to bring transformation to your life. He wants to lead you into your community. But even before that, if you have not yet discovered, he wants to reveal to you how much he loves you. So just to give that encouragement to you. That's the 3-minute sermon for the morning. I hope this has been helpful. I hope that these core values, I hope you've seen glimpses of them. I hope you have, because that's what we want to be about. So we are so thankful for your encouragement, for your prayers. And the way we're going to wrap up here, I've asked Clyde Espenshade to come up and pray for us as leaders. It's kind of this picture of us needing the prayer of the body, and we are so thankful for that. So why don't we go down to the floor here? Let's bring that along and give that to Clyde. And the rest of you stand, and we really appreciate your prayers because we need God's wisdom to lead the body. So I've asked Clyde to pray for us, and anything else you feel the Lord wants you to share, and then...
That can be a dangerous thing for me. One of the scriptures that came to my mind as you guys were sharing here was about the Ark of the Covenant, Philistines had captured. And the Philistines didn't quite like what was going on with them because God was making them very sick. And so they decided to send his ark back for lights. So they made a cart, hooked a couple cows to it that just had calves, then it's on its way, and it went straight to Israel. Now, cows that just had calves really, really like them. So that showed very much, very clearly to the Philistines that this was a miracle. Well, David liked the idea, too. He wanted God's presence to be in Jerusalem. He copied what the Philistines did. He made a nice cart, hooked a couple strong oxen to it, was dancing and shouting and having a very good time. David's heart was after God. Guess what? God didn't like it. This ark almost fell because the oxen stumbled. Now, if you think about oxen stumbling, something strange about that one. But it led to the death of somebody. They wanted to control the ark, the presence of God. So it took David a couple years to figure out how to get the presence of the ark up. He wanted it. The very center of center of God's people. That's what I see happening here. You know me, I want God's presence. that's what I've been hearing. So this is a picture of five guys that I really respect, humbling themselves. It's humbling to me to be asked to pray, because I see their heart. They want us to mature. They want us to become pure. Some of these that are close to me know what I've been saying. We need to change our confession, because God is taking shame off this congregation, releasing us from the consequences of our sin. We're going to be bold very shortly. We're going to become people who no longer are sinners saved by grace, but we are people walking, dispensing that grace. Rather than being consumers of that grace, we're going to be dispensers of that grace. The world needs it. The Father, we just humble ourselves before you. Ask you to continue to guide each and every one of us, and specifically these five men, as they humble themselves before you, to bring your anointing continually, thoroughly enveloping this place, dear Lord, so that we might become people so saturated with your grace, with your glory, that our shadows fall on people. Bring them to repent. Bring them to healing. Bring them to wholeness. Release them from the bondage, from the lies of Satan. We ask you to fill us with your glory. Continue to remove the shame from our lives. Give us the boldness. Stand before this world and exclaim, Jesus, Lord, Father. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. We appreciate your prayers as we serve. And I just want to express my appreciation for these men and the blessing and the encouragement they are to me. So thanks for coming. Thanks for being here this morning. It was good to be able to share with you like this. And give us your feedback, what you see God doing, your encouragement to us, your challenges to us. We always welcome that. So if there's any way we can pray for you, anything going on in your life, we can pray for you. You got all the elders here in one spot. So come on up and somebody will pray for you, okay? All right. God bless you. Have a great day. You're dismissed.